That's not what I'm going to preach on to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, I want to read you one scripture here. And as it is appointed unto man, I'm sorry, Robbie, I forget to give you the verses before we get up here. You tell I'm from the old school, I'm not used to having that, you know. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I'm sure you all know that scripture. I'm sure you all have somebody's preached to you from that scripture before. It's not anything new. It's not anything that you haven't heard. But it is appointed unto man once to die. After he dies, there is the judgment. Today is a very important day. Well, it is for some people. You know, I mean, it's all right for me. I'm not a big football fan. So I'm not, it doesn't enthuse me one way or the other. I used to be and I used to love it, but I don't know why. I just am not. Maybe I'm getting too old and don't really care anymore. Today is a day that is looked forward to in the sports industry as probably one of the greatest days for the sports fans that there is. They make preparations months in advance. If you want to go to the Super Bowl, you make preparations. You better make them a long time in advance, as high as the tickets are. And because me and Melanie decided we might like to go to the game, to the Super Bowl when it was in Dallas. We checked on tickets, and I don't even remember. It was so out of this world. We'd had to remortgage our house to go. So we decided that wasn't a good idea. You have to bear with me this morning. But anyway, it's one of the big days for them in the world of sports. People make preparations. They invite people over. They have all, I don't know, Pastor was telling me this morning, he forget how many, it's the biggest day there is to sell wings. You know, I could care less about them. I just don't like wings. So anyway, but it's a big day. We make all these preparations. We get everybody ready. We lay out the table. We put out the spread. We buy the biggest TV that we can find to watch the Super Bowl on. And all these preparations are made. And everybody's getting it together. Their ice chests are full. Their grills are going today. They've already been to the store and bought everything they need. You know why? They know exactly what time it's going to start. They know exactly what time everybody's going to come. They know exactly when it's going to happen. And we make preparations. Doesn't it amaze you? That little scripture I read to you today tells us that every man has an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. You may not make it to a Super Bowl party today. Something may happen and you may have to wait till next year. But let me tell you, there is an appointment that we're going to meet one day that is called death. And when we meet that appointment, there is no coming back. There is no changing the outcome. The way you are whenever you die is the way you go away. Now for the church. I tell you, I've been to, in the last couple of months, probably since the 1st of December, right around that area, I've been to about 5 funerals, I believe. Is that right? In the last couple of months, I've been to 4 or 5 funerals. One of the guys that worked for me, his brother, passed away. I walked into that funeral. First time I'd ever been to a Mormon funeral. I walked into that funeral and I listened to them. I knew the boy's life from what I had heard. I knew how he died, and I knew what the situation was. And I listened to those people walk behind that podium and talk about going to see him on the other side. And inside of my heart, I'm thinking, unless he made some changes and some preparations, there will be no on the other side to meet other people. I'm not his judge. I don't know what happened there. I don't know how he was when he met God. But this I do know. He crossed over to the other side. There was an appointment that was made for his life. And he went to the other side to meet God. And how he left this world is exactly how he met God. I've been to several other funerals. I've listened to them sing songs. And I listened to one where they sang, "Thank God I've made it. Thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold." And while they're singing this song, the presence of the Lord filters into the church. And you can tell, here's somebody that made it home. Here's somebody that was prepared to go. I've been to the funeral from 27 years old all the way up into their 80s. I've been to those funerals, and there's a different atmosphere when you walk into somewhere and you listen to them tell the story of somebody that's crossed over, that's gone on to meet Jesus, that was ready. And let me tell you, it made a big difference in the atmosphere of that funeral. For the Christian, there's a hope that's beyond this world. You see, if Brother Stone was here, he'd tell us this morning, pastoring don't pay the best. You don't make lots of money pastoring unless you really get to pastor some big mega church. You don't make a lot of money pastoring, but the retirement plan is out of this world. The retirement plan is great. You may not get wealthy being a Christian. God never promised us that he would make us wealthy people. But he did promise us he would meet our needs. But he did promise us that when it's over and you take your last breath and you leave this world and you go to another world, that he will meet you there and he will take you across and he will welcome you there with open arms. And John tells us, you can read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. He said, "I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Sorry, I'm gasping for air this morning, can you tell? "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death.'" This is for the church. This is for them that are ready to go. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You talk about a hope for the church. I listened to E.V. Hill as he preached his wife's funeral, and he told the story of her life. And at the end, he began to tell about her getting sick and being in the hospital. And he said, "I went to the chapel and I got down on my knees and I said, 'God, I want to talk to you.' You see, God is not such somebody that we cannot talk to. He understands when we talk to Him. But He went to the chapel and He said, God, I want to talk to you. And I want to talk to you in my terms. I don't have no special words. I don't have no great eloquent speech. I just want to talk to you, God. So he began to talk to God and he said, I want you to heal my wife. And while he's praying to God, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, trust me. And he said, I got excited and I thought, God, you're going to heal my wife. But he said, God spoke to me and said, trust me. He said, I didn't say I was going to heal her, but I said, trust me. So he said, I went back to the Word of God and I read again what God does with those that He takes. And I understand again what happens when they pass from this world into the other. And he said, the Spirit spoke to me and said, Heal, you thought she was beautiful on earth. Wait till you see her when I get done with her. You thought she was gorgeous before. You wait till I'm done and you see her again. Then you'll understand what I do with those that I take. You see, there is a book somewhere. I don't know where it's at, but I know God knows where it's at. And it's called the Book of Life. And when you die, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can guarantee there's a chance that you're going to the other side to meet God. If your name is not written in the Book of Life, then you're not going to make it. And I know we love to hear about heaven. We love to hear about the greatness of God. We love to hear about everything that is so awesome. We don't love going to funerals, but we like it when we can talk about those people and say, I know how they live. They were godly people. They were good people. And we've got a hope of meeting them. But can I read you what John wrote right after he said all of that? John said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many of you believe this? You believe this is the infallible Word of God. There's not a mistake in it. There's not anything you can take out of it. You believe it for exactly what it says, the Word of God. If you can take one verse out of it, then you can take all of them out. You either believe it all or you don't believe any of it. That's the way it is. So as much as I want to tell you this morning, there is a great place called heaven. There is a place that the saints of God go whenever they leave this world. There is also a dark side to that. And my friend, if you die today and your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is another place that you will go that is called hell. And hell is just as real as heaven is. And as much as I like to talk about heaven, let me remind you today that there is a place called hell that men go to in an eternal flame. A place that they die forever. The Bible said the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. It's just as real as heaven is. And if you die and your name is not written in the Book of Life, you will end up in a place called hell. I know we don't like to think about it, do we? But today, if you miss the Super Bowl, you can wait another year and watch it next year. If you miss that basketball playoff, you can wait for another year and watch it again. But if you die and you miss heaven, you have no other chance to come back and change that outcome of your life. I preached this. I thought the pastor was going to be here. So please don't think I wouldn't preach this. If he wasn't here, I wouldn't preach anything that I thought would be against what he teaches. But I believe that he would teach us the same thing, that there is a place called hell. And you say, Brother Rodney, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That's awesome. I am so glad you are. But have you prayed for your children? Have you prayed for your grandchildren? Have you prayed for your neighbor? Have you prayed for your friends? That if they do not change their ways, that they will burn in a place called hell. My children that I love, that little boy that sits right here, if I don't teach him about God, and I don't know where the age of accountability is, I think it varies, and so I don't know when he reaches that age of accountability, but this I do know, if I do not teach him, and his name is not written down, when he dies, he will not go to heaven. It does not matter what I say. It does not matter how many times that I stand up and say what a good kid he was. If his name is not written in heaven, if his sins are not forgiven, you will die lost. You will die lost. I hope everybody that's here this morning, your sins are under the blood. I hope everybody here this morning is saved. I don't know. Because I know you from what I see here. I don't know you when you walk out that door. I don't know what you do. You can fool me. You can fool the pastor. But you cannot fool God. And it doesn't matter if you fool me. It doesn't matter if you fool the pastor. It does not matter if you fool the church. When you die, you will not fool God. God knows. I can take you in the Bible, and I had it marked, but for sake of time, I will not read it. I can take you to the story of a rich man and a beggar by the name of Lazarus. And the Bible said they both died. And that rich man looked up and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he begged and he said, please. And I could not stress it enough. I could not preach it hot enough. If I could preach it hot enough to make you feel the heat, I would love to do it. But I cannot do it. But I will tell you this, that man begged for Lazarus to stick his finger in the water and just put a drop on my tongue that would cool my tongue. That's where hell is. And Abraham said, they cannot do it. There's a great gulf between me and you. Hell is a place you never get out of. If you could go to hell, and you knew that in 5,000 years, you would get out, you would have a glimmer of hope. But it's eternity. And as much as we shout about eternity with God, forever and ever and ever, to never be tormented by the devil again, can you imagine there is a place where the devil is going to be forever and ever and ever? And if you do not live for God and you do not have your name written and your sins are not under the blood, you will go there to be with the devil forever and ever and ever. You say, Brother Rodney, I wish you'd preach something else. Me too. But let me tell you, If you die lost, you'll wish I'd have preached it again. If you go to hell, or your children go to hell, you're going to wish you'd have heard it more. You're going to say, man, I wish somebody would have preached that one more time to me. I wish somebody would have preached to my children again about that lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A man sat on death row. I'm not going to preach much longer, okay? Well, I'll just say, I ain't going to say that because I don't know what I'll say. I don't have a schedule and I don't have any outline, so you're just stuck till I get done, I guess. What's that? A man sat on death row. Time was coming for him to be executed. In the door walked the priest or the chaplain, whatever he was. He walked in and he looked at this man and he said, anything I can do for you? You're eating your last meal? Anything I can do? Can I say a prayer? Can I read you some scripture? The man looked at him and he said, no, I don't want to hear no scripture and I don't want to hear you pray. He finished his meal. They came and cleaned up his room and they came to get him, to take him to the chambers to be executed. This priest or we'll call him a chaplain, okay? I don't remember whether it's a priest. It's been a long time since I read this story, but I've never forgot it. And I can't find it anymore, so I just have to do it by memory. So this chaplain, they started down the aisle or down the hallway where they were heading for the death chamber. Behind him walked the chaplain. The chaplain was mumbling a prayer as they were walking. And he was saying and praying for this young man, or this man that's fixing to be executed. And this chaplain wrote, and he said, that man turned and looked at me and preached to me one of the most severe messages that I've ever heard in my life. And he looked at that chaplain, and he stopped that company of people, and he pointed to him and pointed his finger in his face. And he said, if I believe there was a hell, like that Bible says there is, he said, not only would I be gentle about it, but I'd crawl across the country of Asia. If it was covered with glass, I would crawl across it on my hands and knees to save one person from going to a place that's described as hell, like is in that Bible, if that's what you really believe. You know what we need to grasp is we need to grasp today that hell is a real place. It is a real situation. It is a place where sinners go. It is a place that people go every day. I could read to you in the Word of God, it said hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. As much as we shout, and let me tell you something, as much as Sister Stone's mom is shouting today, and she's in no pain, and she's having a glorious time on the streets of heaven, and she's enjoying the company of Jesus Christ himself that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me tell you, there's been somebody in the last 48 hours that have split the scenes of hell. They went through the gates of hell and they are screaming in pain. And it's only been for one day or 2 days, but an eternity to last if we do not make it right with God. Eternity without God. Your appointment is set. Your appointment is set. I don't know when it is. I don't know if you'll get your 70 or 80 years. I don't know if you're going to get your 70 or 80 years. Your appointment might be tomorrow. It could be before you get home today. Your appointment could end. The only thing I know is when you face that appointment, you need to be ready to meet God. I've never met the president. Probably never will. And that's all right. I don't care. I didn't care before and I don't care now. I've never met the president. But if I were going to meet him, and I knew that I was going, we got to come up with somebody better than the president, okay? I don't know. I don't know who I'd go meet that would be important. But you know what I'd do? I'd go in my closet. I would get out the best clothes I have. I would take them to the cleaners. I'd have them starch up my shirt, make sure it's clean, there ain't no spots on. Matter of fact, I'd probably go buy me a new shirt. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. I'd go have it starched up. I'd pick out the best tie that I liked. And I, you know, that I thought was my favorite that looked the best. And I'd have it cleaned up and make sure it was all ready. I wouldn't wait till 5 minutes before I met him to do all this. I'd make sure I was prepared. I'd get my best jacket out or my jeans, whatever I was going to wear. You know, I'd make sure it was looking good. And when I walked in to see him, I'd walk by the mirror and I'd look and make sure that my shirt was all tucked in and the wrinkles was all where they're supposed to be and my beard was all trimmed up. And you know what I'm saying, don't you? We'd make sure we was ready. I know, Abby, in a few days, you're just, you know, 10 more years, you'll be ready to date. Isn't that right, Dad? Yeah, he's shaking his head, yeah. And that day will come when you sit at home waiting on that knock on the door for that young man to come and pick you up and take you out on a date. And if you could stare in the mirror and wear a hole in it, you will. You'll want to make sure your makeup's all just right. You'll make sure your hair's all combed. That your everything looks just like it's supposed to look. You know why we're preparing for a situation that's important to us. And don't it amaze you that people idly don't worry. I wish this church was full this morning for me to preach to people about the appointment we have with God. And we handle it so carelessly. And it's not important to us because we don't think it's going to happen to us. It's not going to happen to me. I'll never forget years ago, I was sitting at work one day and my phone rang and I answered it. And the call came and said, "Can you come to our house right now? Our son, who was 13 years old, slipped and hung himself from a rope. When I got there, they had just cut him down off the back porch, 13 years old, and was gone to another world." Oh, it won't never happen to me. It won't ever happen at my house. It will never be my car that has that wreck. It will never be my phone that rings that says your grandchild has been killed in a car wreck. And I apologize this morning if I'm bringing up bad memories for anybody, okay? That's not what my intentions are. But what I do want you to understand is you have an appointment. And only you will make the decision of where you go at the end of that appointment. You say, okay, Brother Rodney, you've preached long enough. Shut up. Let us pray and we'll go eat. Let me tell you, there will be a day you'll say, man, I wish he'd have asked just a little. I wish he would have asked us if we wanted to pray again. Stand with me if you will. I don't know the condition of your soul today. And I don't care whether you're 13 years old in here. Or I don't care whether you're, I don't know how old the oldest person would be in here. So let's say 75. Or if you're older than that, somewhere in between, does not matter to me. Obviously, you're sitting under the sound of my voice and God knew you was going to be here this morning. I don't pick messages to preach because of who I think is going to be at church because I didn't know. I asked God, and this is what God gave me. So I ask you this morning, are you ready to meet God? Is your